this time. When it's one, it's one. Thank you everybody for joining us tonight. I'd like to thank Shomrei Emuna once again for hosting us. And tonight, what I'd like to do is try to do the little bit that we could do to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. And how is that done? And Monday night, I'll just summarize some of the class that we gave. We spoke about how these days, the 9 days and 3 weeks, although they're sad and we may experience discomfort, but in truth they're days of unique opportunity. Just like we understand that the Yomim Nerayim, Rosh Hashanah, Aseret Mitzvah, Yom Kippur, it's a special and unique time to draw close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pesach has its unique features in Shavuot. Sukkot are days of gladness and joy. So these days, although they're days of mourning and sorrow, they're invested with special opportunity. And how is this accomplished? Why do we mourn what was, crying over spilled milk? So the truth is that it's a matter of great consequence. It's a tremendous opportunity. And when we mourn, we actually connect to the Mikdash. The Siftei Chaim, he extrapolates from the Gemara in Tainus, the Talmud in Tractate Tainus, that says, whoever mourns over the temple, call him Mis'avdol Al Yushalayim, Zaycha V'raya B'simchasai. You'll merit to see it in its rebuilt and its joy. And if you look at the text carefully, you'll see that the Gemara is said in the present tense. Zaycha V'raya, he merits to see, not that he will merit, but that he merits to see the Beis HaMikdash in its joy. Now we know the Beis HaMikdash is not here right now, so how does he merit now to see the Beis HaMikdash? Through mourning, through thinking of the Mikdash and understanding it, he connects right now to the Mikdash. As well, when we mourn the Beis HaMikdash, when we think about its loss, the Maral says that that's actually a process of rebuilding. And the Maral explains that the world is in an equilibrium. And if you look, a tree dies and it starts to rot and decompose and is rebirth and regeneration. And there's a constant state of equilibrium that's maintained in the world. So when we feel, the Maral says, chisaron, when we feel the law of the Beis HaMikdash, that makes that it has to come back, that this equilibrium has to be reassumed and regenerate itself. But when we don't feel that there's a law, then there's no need, so to speak, for equilibrium to be maintained, because there's no law. So by feeling and actualizing its law, we actually obligate, so to speak, the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Shla, in fact, says that that's the reason why we don't mourn on Shabbos. Normally we assume because we're sad when we mourn, and Shabbos is a time of joy. But the Shla says it's because when we mourn, we're actually building the Mikdash, and building is forbidden on Shabbos. So that's just a very vivid illustration of how powerfully the mourning is rebuilding the Mikdash. And we spoke about the unique features of the Mikdash. We explained that the Mikdash was a world unto itself that contained all the elements of the physical and spiritual world. And a world is comprised, we all know it's the famous Mishnah in Avos. What are the pillars of a world? Torah study, Avodah, divine service, and Gemilas Chassadim. And the Beis HaMikdash being a world also was comprised of these three things. And we demonstrated how it was found in the Beis HaMikdash. We had the Aron that symbolized Torah. And we had the Shulchan that was Gemilas Chassadim. And we had the Mizbeach that corresponded to what? Tavoda, that was the altar where the divine service was done. And we explained why these three things are so important in maintaining the world and the Beis HaMikdash. So tonight, after we uncovered these three pillars that form the Beis HaMikdash, that are the foundations of the Mikdash, it's an opportunity for us to use this knowledge to actually recreate the Mikdash. Right here, right now, all of us. The Gemara in Brachos says an amazing thing that is worthy of contemplation. And the Gemara says, Kol mi sheyesh lei deya. Anybody that has deya, godly wisdom, ki ilu nivne beis hamikdash biyamo. It's as if he rebuilt the temple in his day. It's a rather cryptic passage in Talmud, but yet it's very telling and insightful, indeed transformational, that somebody with his behavior, through his conduct, he could actually live in the Beis HaMikdash. Somebody that learns with Deya, somebody that lives, conducts himself with Deya, with godly knowledge. So he's attached. Ki ilu nivna beis hamikdash b'yamav. It's as if he's recreating the mikdash. So it's true that that great edifice with all its spiritual powers, Allah, and we daven so many times a day for its rebuilding, but yet here and now we have an ability to live in the mikdash, to recreate it, by living with the ideal and the lessons of the Mikdash. The truth is, when we think about these three features, these three pillars that we spoke about, Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chassadim, the various Gemaras that discuss the reason why the temple was destroyed, we see a correspondence between those reasons and these pillars. The Gemara Nedarim says, why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Al-Azim es Tarasi, because they left my Torah. And the Gemara says, Shalom Berchu b'Torah Tchila, they didn't make the blessing on the Torah. This is a famous Gemara. And the Torah brings it in the code of Jewish law. And the Mefarshim, the commentaries, explain that what does that mean, that they didn't make the bracha on the Torah? They didn't have proper regard and respect. They didn't understand the importance and primacy of Torah. And that was the cause for the temple's destruction. So, when we're mechazik, and we strengthen this pillar, it should be a cause for this pillar of the Beis HaMikdash to be rebuilt. As well, Avodah, that's the second pillar of the world, of the Mikdash. And what corresponds to that? The reason that was cited for the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash? Avodah Zarah. Idol worship was one of the reasons why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And idol worship is what? It's transferring divine service to the service of another god. So when we strengthen our divine service, that as well the strengthening this pillar of the Beis HaMikdash. And finally, another reason that's cited, this is also famous, is sinas chinam, baseless hatred. And it's hatred without due cause. We look at each other like strangers, not like beloved brothers and sisters. And when we do chesed with each other, that's the opposite of sinas chinam. We give of ourselves, we recognize a commonality, we recognize that we're all the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of God banim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem. And this as well is the cause for that pillar to be strengthened. I'd like to talk a little bit about these pillars one by one. Torah. If you look at the Mishnah, which one of these pillars is mentioned first? It's Torah. And that teaches us what? That this is the foremost of the pillars. And it's a Mishnah in Avos. It says, Im limadetza Torah harbe. If you've studied a lot of Torah, al tachzik tzeivalatzmacha. Don't consider yourself a big shot. Don't hold yourself in such high regard. Why? Why not? It's great to learn Torah. Filakach neisarta. Because it's for this reason that you were created. So if somebody does, you go to work, you work a hard day in the office, and you leave, and you turn around to your coworkers, and you're waiting for just a big round of applause because you came to work that day, they'll be disappointed because you're expected to go to work, right? And all the things that we do if you have a job that you're expected to do, so you're not waiting for accolades. So that's the whole reason why we came here, was to learn Torah, and it befits us, and that's our obligation. Al tachzik tayv alatzmacha. If you look in the Mikdash, if you look at the kli, the vessel that corresponded to the Torah, what was that? That was the Ark, the Arayim. Where was the Arayim housed? In the Kodesh Kodashim, right? In the inner sanctum, in the Holy of Holies. That was the most sublime place in the whole temple. In fact, the high priest, the Kohen Gadol, only entered that inner sanctum when? Yom Kippur, once every year, the holiest day of the year. And that was where the Torah was. It was Lifnai V'Lifnim. Torah is what connects us to Hashem, what endears us to God. In fact, it's what, so to speak, induces the Shekhinah to reside in the temple. And the Medrash gives a mashal, gives a parable. And the parable is of a king who has a beloved daughter. It's his only daughter. And he raises her, and he educates her, and he invests in her, and he loves her. She's the apple of his eye. And she grows up, and finally it's time for her to get married. And they search far and wide for a suitable husband, somebody that befits the noble princess, and finally a maid is found, and they get married. And wouldn't you believe it, the king has a very hard time, so to speak, giving away his daughter. And he calls over the young man, the new husband, and he says, do me a favor. To tell you that you can't take your wife, even though she's my daughter, I can't do that, because she's your wife. But just do me one small favor. Everywhere you go, everywhere you choose to live, just make a little home for me nearby, a little room, that I could come visit you and be near my beloved daughter. And that's what Hashem says to the children of Israel, to B'nai Yisrael. He gave them the Torah. The Torah is Kalei Chemza. It's God's special delight. And he, so to speak, gave it away. And it was, so to speak, very hard for God to separate himself from the Torah. But he gave it to the children of Israel. He wanted them to have it. He wanted them to study it, to learn it, to do the mitzvahs of the Torah. So Hashem says to the children of Israel, just do me one favor. Make a little temple. Make a little place that I could reside my divine presence there and be near the Torah. It's a beautiful mashal. It's a very educational mashal. And it teaches us that what endears us to God, what